This is Learning About the Roman Liturgy with Louis Tofari. The rubrics, the liturgy, the traditions of the Roman Catholic faith. And now, here's Louis Tofari.
Hello, and welcome to Learning About the Roman Liturgy. I'm your host, Louis Tofari of Romanitas Press. Today, we are going to discuss one of the most sublime and touching actions done by the celebrant during Mass, but perhaps often overlooked, the kissing or reverencing of the altar. In the sacred liturgy, as in the world, a kiss is given to an object or person as a sign of affection and respect. Now, as we have spoken of before, the altar is the most important and sacred object in the Church, and in fact is the very reason for the church building. Now, the altar is not merely a stone block, but symbolizes Christ himself, who is our altar, victim, and priest. And the sacrificial dignity of the altar includes the enshrinement of the saints' relics within the altar itself, or the sepulchre. These saints are buried in union with Christ, for who they gave their lives, and now reign triumphantly in heaven with him. And this fulfills the prophetic vision of St. John the Evangelist as related in his book of the Apocalypse, quote, "I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held," unquote. After saying the preparatory prayers at the foot of the altar, the celebrant says Oremus, and while ascending the steps up to the altar, recites this prayer, quote, "Take away from us our iniquities, we beseech thee, O Lord, that we may be worthy to enter with pure minds into the Holy of Holies, through Christ our Lord. Amen," unquote. Then standing in front of the altar, the celebrant bows low and says, quote, "We beseech thee, O Lord, by the merits of thy saints, whose relics are here, and of all the saints, that thou would vouchsafe to forgive me all my sins. Amen," unquote. So while he says, quote, "whose relics are here," unquote, this is when the celebrant kisses the altar. This solemn act of devotion is made by the priest by placing his hands flat down on the altar and then kissing the top or mensa of the altar, at the front edge in the center, that is, where the relics are enshrined in the sepulchre. At some Masses, this order of spiritual preparation is admirably seen, and we see that the very first act of the celebrant at the altar is to venerate it with a solemn kiss, and only then the holy sacrifice of Mass is begun at the altar itself. And as we are hearing in the background now, this progression is increased by incensing the altar to honor the sacrificial stone that is Christ, and which enshrines his saints. And as well, let's remember that the altar cloths represent us, church militant. Unfortunately, at low Mass, this order just described is somewhat obscured because the priest has to carry the chalice to the altar, which he then must prepare before starting Mass. So he takes the chalice up to the altar. He then removes the corporal from the burse, unfolds it, places the chalice on the corporal, arranges it so it's neat, goes over to the epistle side, opens up the missal, and then arranges the pages and the ribbons so the missal is now prepared for him to celebrate Mass. He returns back to the center of the altar, bows to the cross, then descends back to the foot of the altar to begin the preparatory prayers. So at low mass, not only does the celebrant dare to ascend the altar before making his purifying confession or preparations, but his first acts at the altar are not even preceded with a reverential kiss. There are also several other times when the celebrant kisses the altar during Mass, most notably before he turns towards the faithful to say, Dominus Vobiscum, or the Lord be with you. He does this before the collect, the offertory antiphon, the post-communion prayer, and ita missa est. This dual action of kissing the altar and then turning towards the faithful is significant for a couple of reasons. First, the priest kisses the altar first before turning towards the faithful, and in doing so, communicates the peace of Christ and of his saints, which also signifies communion that exists between church triumphant and church militant, that is, of the communion of saints. Second, in speaking to the faithful, the celebrant is asking them to unite themselves with him in prayer, and the faithful so reply in a sort of consoling support directly to the priest with the words, Et cum spiritu tuo, or, and with thy spirit. Now, the celebrant does not turn towards the faithful for every time he announces Dominus Vobiscum, for example, just before the Gospel, as well as leading up to the preface. And so in these cases, he does not actually kiss the altar beforehand either. We'll take a short break now, and when we return, we'll discuss other times when the altar is kissed during Mass.
Here on Magnificat Radio at magnificatmedia.com, we truly hope you will join us each weekday for the next several days as we represent a mission given by Father Albert on the Most Holy Rosary.
The Immaculate is at the center of our sanctification. This little phrase contains within it the whole mystery of the Most Holy Rosary that we are going to try to explore with you during this mission.
Join us at noon and again at 7 p.m. Central Time, U.S., as we continue to live our traditional Catholic faith here in the month of May, the month of Our Lady. Father Albert will deeply explain the Most Holy Rosary.
This is the secret of the power of the Rosary.
Each weekday at approximately noon and 7 p.m. Central Time, U.S., here on Magnificat Radio at magnificatmedia.com, living our traditional Catholic faith.
Magnificat Radio is available locally anywhere you are, through the internet, worldwide. If this is important to you, to have Magnificat Radio available in your life, then your tax-deductible contribution will help sustain it and keep Magnificat Media, Magnificat Radio, going. Thank you for listening to and supporting Magnificat Radio.
Welcome back to Learning About the Roman Liturgy. So, let's talk about the other times when the celebrant kisses the altar during the celebration of Mass. There are two times during the silently recited canon. The first one is during the Te Igitur, the first prayer of the canon. And here the celebrant, after he's recited the Sanctus, extends and raises his hands as an arc before his face while raising his eyes towards the cross. And then, deeply bowing, he kisses the altar after saying, Wherefore, O most merciful Father, we humbly pray and beseech thee through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. So here, he's beseeching God the Father by this act of devotion of kissing the altar, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. The second time occurs during the Supplices Te Rogamus, which is the third part of the Anamnesis prayer, or remembrance in Greek. These are the three prayers that come immediately after the consecration, specifically the elevation of the chalice. Here, the celebrant kisses the altar at the words, quote, by partaking at this altar, unquote. And I'll read the entire prayer, Supuces te rogamus, so you get a better idea of what is going on. Quote, we humbly beseech thee, Almighty God, command these gifts to be carried by the hands of thy holy angel to thine altar on high, in the presence of thy divine majesty, that as many of us as shall, by partaking at this altar, and here the celebrant kisses the altar, receive the most sacred body and blood of thy Son, may be filled with all heavenly blessing and grace, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Now at solemn masses, that is, which have a deacon and subdeacon, there is an additional time when the altar is kissed. And this occurs for the giving of the pax, or kiss of peace, which occurs after the first Domine Jesu Christi prayer for peace, which is said just after the fraction of the host. So while the celebrant says this prayer, the deacon is kneeling on the predella. Then he stands, and in unison with the celebrant, he kisses the altar, but on the epistle side, so between the celebrant and the epistle corner, you might say. But he does this without resting his hands on the altar. So his hands are actually folded in front of him for the deacon. And this is because only the celebrant has the privilege of touching the altar in this manner during the celebration of Mass. After they have both kissed the altar simultaneously, the celebrant and deacon will then exchange the pox between them. And then afterwards, the deacon will give the pox to the subdeacon, who then in turn gives it to the clergy and choir, and then he would give it to any clergy who would be the acolytes at the Mass, for example. Now, the pox itself is also a type of liturgical kiss, though in reality, the action is simply of the two putting their heads, bowing their heads to each other on their right shoulder. And this mimics the ancient custom of giving a kiss on the cheek as a sign of friendship or respect. And this custom still exists in some cultures, even amongst men, such as in France or the Middle East. We might also recall how Judas betrayed Christ, his friend and master, with a kiss of respect while saying, "Hail, Rabbi." Now, in this case, during the liturgy, the giver of the pox says, "Pax tecum," which means peace be with you. And the receiver of the pox replies, "Et cum spiritu tuo," and with thy spirit. And this pox communicates the peace of Christ and exemplifies the mutual charity that should exist amongst Christians, particularly before they receive Holy Communion. And in the early church, many converts from paganism occurred simply from witnessing the charity exhibited amongst Catholics. The famous quote was, quote, "See how they love one another," unquote, which remains as an example for us today. We now come to the end of Mass, and here the celebrant kisses the altar again before turning to give the last blessing. And this action is rather symbolic, for the priest is about to convey to the faithful, that is, the blessing of Christ, for which he has been ordained as an alter Christus, or as another Christ, to give. So he himself is giving the blessing of Christ as Christ himself. There are other types of reverential kisses given in the course of Mass. However, we don't have the time to talk about it in this broadcast, so you'll have to wait until next week to hear an explanation about them. In the meantime, if you'd like to better understand the ceremonial actions that take place during Mass, I recommend obtaining my book, The General Principles of the Ceremonies of the Roman Rite, which are available on my website, romanitaspress.com. So thanks for listening to this episode of Learning About the Roman Liturgy. And until next time, I'm Louis Tafari of Romanitas Press. Take care and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Magnificat Radio.
We urge you to pray the rosary every day and realize that the only way to world peace is the message of Fatima.
Living our traditional Catholic faith. This is Magnificat Radio. and magnificatmedia.com.